I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Well, you may be sleeping all day and all night. You're not going to sleep for the next hour because you...
I know where you're going!
And I know where you've been because you are
That's
on...
That's your problem.
Yeah, there you go. With Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman, and the...
The other guy.
Joe D. And we are sitting here today. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have a good time. We're thawing out. We got a few things.
I thought I saw a putty hat.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you can get in on the fun with us. Give us a call. Our regular number is in effect,
516-572-7440.
Give us a buzz and talk with us. We'll have entertain all your automotive thoughts and problems. We have a few of our own that we're going to talk about today.
I'm out on what a week.
And you can also follow us on motormouthradio.com or Motormouth Radio on Twitter and Joe's favorite on Instagram.
Real_MotorMouthRadio.
Yes, and you can, and I do recommend that you do that because you'll get to see what we do more like in real time during the week when we're not here, because we're only here for a little sliver of an hour every week. And this way you can see what we do and comment on it. And like it, share it, do that all cool stuff. Check the website. We have new stuff going up all the time, new videos. We have new blogs, articles. You can sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a reminder about that once a week. Not intrusive, just to check up. Some people like it encapsulated like that. And
this is the week that was.
Is it? Was it? Yeah. So, yeah, but until then, oh, I hit the wrong button again. So, Joe, let's see. Today, we don't have a guest today. I was hoping to get a buzz from... a couple people who may call in just to
they
say
they were out all night and sleeping all day, obviously.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just have to cut them some slack, you know?
I have to say that as far as shows go, we are, without a doubt, the weirdest show on this station.
Yeah. They, you know, we get those like sideways looks as we walk down the hallway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, the pointing, though, they've kind of cut back on the pointing. Like that. The giggling, though. Yeah, they got to work on that.
Well, there's not as many people here when we're here, so we kind of get away with that, which is good.
Stealth.
Exactly.
Hit them where they ain't. Yeah, but we are kind of strange in that we don't discuss the usual topics of the day. We're all mechanically four-wheel, two-wheel, engine-driven, electronic... Gas powered,
piston pumping, clanking,
yeah,
stanking.
What is our description on the website? Clutch thumping, rubber burning.
Two clutch thumping, rubber burning.
Chopper jocks,
chopper and hot rod jockeys, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And this time of the year, I'm basically only chopper I might use is something in the kitchen, and that even would consist handing it to the actual people who prepare food because, you know, when I walk into a kitchen, usually. You know, the wife of the kids, they dial 9-1, and then they just get the third one ready to go just in case because
they hold their finger over it.
You never know when there's going to be an explosion.
Exactly.
Smoke.
Yeah.
I never realized that, you know, doing a grilled cheese sandwich could actually become an incendiary event.
Oh, absolutely. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really wish that we would come out with a smoke alarm that you could just walk out. I'm just cooking, damn it! Will you calm down?
For some reason, and I don't know why this is, you know, my wife cooks a lot of stuff, a lot of different stuff.
Right.
And the alarms never go off. But for some reason, when she makes tortillas, and
right.
you put them right on a burner to kind of grill them up, it always sets off the freaking alarm. It's like, oh, God, it's just a tortilla, come on. And why other stuff doesn't do it, I don't know. But
well, perhaps it hasn't been trained yet. It's maybe more trained towards Italian food.
More Anglo or Italian, right? It's something, but right. it isn't picking up.
It definitely has its own taste, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, let's face it, going into, you know, that's the only chopping I do these days, you know.
Right.
Well, maybe the occasional piece of, you know, fuel line or something like that. But other than that, there's no clutch dumping because that car's sitting there.
You would need a clutch.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they have automatics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just close the loop now on a problem we were talking about last week, because we have had closure now on
yes.
the cruise.
And you have achieved closed loop.
Yes, and hopefully it's going to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we did talk about the cruise that's in my family. It had a myriad of issues. Check engine light was
mass
on.
Mass airflow codes, yeah. air throttle body position codes,
right.
Map sensor performance codes, and pretty much the thing just had itself a little, you know, mental meltdown there.
Well, during the week, my wife was going to take the car into Queens to see her mom, and she said, you know, she was wondering if it would be okay to drive, and I said, yeah, you've been driving since I brought her home on Sunday.
Right.
It's fine. The only thing was the cooling fan was on high. I said, that's the only thing, but, so I think it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, I said, let me go out. I said, I can always plug the, I said, I can always, what was I, I don't remember what I was looking for. I wanted to see if the PCV was still sucking. That was,
right.
I was curious.
It's definitely sucking.
So first thing in the morning, it was like, I don't know, like not even 7 o'clock. I opened the hood. I start the car. Fan is on. And the PCV wasn't sucking. But and the car was running well. And I noticed that the mass airflow sensor was unplugged. We'd unplugged it in the parking lot.
Right, yeah, when we were messing around out there.
Never
yeah.
plugged it back in.
Right.
That made sense when I put my scanner on, that I saw scan data where I had basically the map and the math were at like zero. It said zero.
Right.
And the IAT, the
intake air temperature,
showed minus 40 degrees.
Which was almost plausible these last week, but not really.
So, of course, I plug it in.
Why'd you move to Minnesota?
Yeah. And the car goes right back into that missing kind of mode, right.
It thought it had a cam in it.
Right. Yeah, an Ecotec with a hot cam.
Yeah.
And I said, oh,
isn't
boy.
That's a moron.
I said, so here's a conundrum. I could have her drive the car with the fan off and the thing plugged in, but running like a bag of turd at an idle. Or I could just leave it the way it was because she was driving it that way, and my daughter used it for work, too.
Right.
For 4 days. And I actually sent you an email. I said, well, yeah. What's your take on this? What do you think?
Yeah, and I was like, let's hear it for failure mode.
So, yeah, I unplugged it and said, go have at it, you know, and it was fine. So yesterday, I got the car in the shop. I had ordered the valve cover from a local Chevy parts supplier. We wanted to go with the OEM part.
Right, yes.
Because the PCV valve is in the valve cover. That's the thing. And even the manager over there says to me, listen, I stock these. What does that tell you? I'm like, yep, I got it.
Inventory diagnostics.
Good idea. And it worked, right.
Yep.
It is true. So I did change it yesterday, but the problem is I have plasticitis. Everything plastic is chasing me and breaking the little clips, little tabs. It's actually, they call it the PCV hose. It looks like, people, if you know what it looks like, the like back from the 70s, GM started using
that corrugated wire loom stuff
right.
there that they did instead of wrapping it in that nice cloth stuff. Yeah,
you'll know it.
Yeah.
If you go to any car show and you see a guy who built his car back in the 80s and he used it in purple or pink or
yes.
green or yellow, and you go, oh, my God. Well, that's what I saw, and I said, oh, it looks like they put that over the hose, I guess,
right.
to protect it.
Silly you.
So as I removed the clip and lifted the fitting off the intake,
mm-hmm.
it snapped in half. It just broke. That corrugated thing broke.
Crack.
And I'm like, what? And I found out that is the hose.
Yes. Yeah, they also use that for the canister vent valve towards the back of the vehicle too, okay. like, you know, because I'm not sure whether they use it because it's more flexible or it's more durable in some way, because I don't know, every time I've ever touched
this
that stuff.
This wasn't flexible at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, and that's funny because that was under the hood.
Yeah.
I mean, plastic in the cold don't get along. We'll get to my Taylor Wall in just a minute. But
right.
Usually, but that thing's baking under the
hood. On top of the valve cover.
Unless it got baked and then it got frozen and it got baked.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe we should ask like Rachel Ray or something
right.
about the baking and freezing cycle, maybe.
It's on the intake side, not the exhaust side, so it didn't get extra. So anyway, I said, oh, now what do I do? It's Saturday. And this is the topic I wanted to bring up. Like, how do you mechanic on the fly? Because here we are. It's
the plan B.
Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
The place I'm going to get this from is definitely not open. They're closed.
Oh, no, they're off enjoying their margaritas or the Jack Daniels or whatever.
And
beer.
That, which is what I wanted to do.
Oh,
and
hell
now,
yeah.
And yet I have to fix this thing because I have to get the car home. So
yeah.
I said, okay, I put it together, and like two pieces of anything broken, it fit together perfectly if you held it in that one spot. I said, how am I going to hold it? So I looked like the biggest shrink tubing I had was just not big enough to go over it. Because that was my first choice, to shrink
right,
tubing.
Right, yeah.
So then I said, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, if I could put something in it. I did the Mazda repair. I found a piece of pipe nipple, quarter-inch pipe nipple.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 3 inches long.
Right.
It slid right in. So I slid it in one side, slid the other side over it. I joined them, and what we did on my Mazda to fix the slight leak I had is we took some silicone sealer.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that around it, and then
yes.
I wrapped it with black electrical tape. And I'll tell you, by looking at it, you'd never know that there was a problem. It looked like factory.
I saw the picture of it. Nice job, I must say.
So
yeah.
The question is going to be, you know, will it last, and how long will it last, and am I going to replace that line? I don't know. I haven't decided yet, because to replace that line is as much as the freaking valve cover was.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I've always said that in Detroit or wherever they build cars these days, you know, there's a dartboard on the wall with all different prices, and they sit there and they, you know, oh, how much you want for this thing? All right, $220, yeah. But it's a carburetor. It's a linkage clip. Ah, it's okay.
It's all right. It'll average out.
What do you want for this door assembly? $5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? No, actually what it is I think it has something to do with the way that the stuff gets sourced and how it's bid on and things like that. But there is no rhyme or reason to us mere mortals is what it comes down to be. So
right.
What it is you just got to suck it up and pay it. Or you do what you did, Ray, and you fixed it on the fly. Because, you know, a lot of that stuff, too, the reason why they use a certain material may not always be obvious as you're sitting there staring at it.
Right.
You know, why they decided to use that instead of a hunk of hose, more than likely, it was just because it was cheaper.
Yeah,
you know
I
what
guess.
I mean? So as far as that goes, that's the most likely suspect.
Yeah.
And the thing is, then you got to say to yourself, you know, which is what you did, is you sit there and you go, okay, all this has got to do is it's got to carry vapors. It doesn't actually carry fuel under pressure or any kind of fluid or anything
right.
like that. So now, you know, does it have to be, you know, intensely strong? You know, does it have to take a lot of vibration? You know, is it going to be torched a lot? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
So, a little pipe fitting to join it with a little bit of a sealer will probably be just fine, because all it's got to do is just carry the vapor and not leak.
Right.
You
right.
know? And who knows? Let's see. Knowing that car, we'll be checking if it's got like a vacuum leak or something like that. Oh, we'll find out about it.
Oh, we will. We will.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. So that was the thing, and the point I wanted to make is a lot of this kind of work is not by the book. It's not what the book says. And I wanted to say, you had sent me the printouts for the procedure to do that valve cover, and
right.
I didn't do probably 80% of them. Because I had you disconnecting every sensor on the motor and removing that whole harness. I just disconnected what I had to and moved it out of the way and snuck the thing out from under it. You know, I worked
right.
like we usually work.
Right, yeah.
So if I had to do all of that, it was like, what a pain. So, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take our first break. We'll queue up a little bit here, and we got to have the cowbells start.
Ah, yes.
A little more, because I always eat cowbell. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in a minute. 90.3 WHPC.
is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who presents Procol Harum with special guest Jamo's Jazz Band in the Still There Will Be More Tour on Thursday, February 28th at 8 p.m. More information can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College. Do you have a passion for physical fitness? Have you ever considered becoming a certified personal trainer? Find out about a course that offers in-depth, hands-on, and practical labs to master the essential career skills and knowledge to become a certified personal trainer. This course consists of 15 hours of lectures and 15 hours of hands-on practical training. This new program meets in the evenings for 10 sessions beginning March 12th. For more information, call 516-572-7487 or visit ncc.edu.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatle Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
That's subtle, right?
All right. Well, there you go, Joe. The song ended because I played Rob's promo, so we couldn't come back to our rejoined music. So that's the way it rolls on Motor Mouth Radio. What are you going to do?
The magic of live radio, yeah. as my predecessor would say.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all right, because we always do stuff on the fly anyway.
You're right.
I mean, there's more flying going on around here than an airport sometimes, you know?
Oh, my word. Yes, it is. So to pick up where we left off with the cruise, it's for now fixed. We ran it. Cleared the codes. We ran the car with the snap-on scanner attached. We looked at all the different driving parameters. Fuel trims were good. Temperatures were good. Map sensor, all that stuff was good.
Throttle angle.
Yeah.
Yes, throttle angle went back to where it was supposed to be and so forth.
It was doing a relearn, so... Right. So far, so good. Drove the car home, gassed it up, and hopefully that one will be one behind us.
Cool.
And just for the learning experience of it. Now, I did try taking that old PCV valve, that disc, off of the valve cover.
Right.
It was like cracking. I don't know how you get in there to change that disc for that. Like, maybe other ones come apart.
Yeah, maybe that's what. Yeah, well, we found ones for other cars, but not that particular one.
Maybe that's it. So I haven't finished with it yet. I'm going to play with it.
Mr. Goodwrench was very sneaky there.
Yeah.
You must buy a valve cover, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, that's another thing. You know, cars don't have, you know, a good old PCV valve that's kind of popped into the grommet of the valve cover anymore.
Right.
Most cars have some type of PCV system that's, they started off years ago with like what they call a calibrated orifice.
Yeah.
You know, the German cars, they have all kinds of like spring-loaded vent valving, all kinds of wackiness, which when they go bad, all kinds of craziness happens. So, you know, the days of popping the PCV valve and putting your thumb over it,
yeah,
or shaking it, or like spraying it out with a crap load of carburetor cleaner, are done. So now you got to do some got to do some diagnostics on that.
I got to tell you one more thing I forgot about, and this one really torqued me off. Our good old buddy, Matt Goman Brian, he was in my thoughts yesterday, because on the nose of the car, I had a few of the tools I was using, a ratchet, and I had my little Matco pocket screwdriver that has the magnet on it.
Yes.
And to remove the little, help remove the clips. So at one point, I wanted to remove another clip. I picked up that screwdriver, which inadvertently picked up another tool that was on that, on the cowl that I didn't see, because as I picked my hand up and moved it, I heard something go fling, dink, dink, dink. It was my T30 Torx bit. Brand new.
Right.
Not the E-Torx one that I got from Brian. That was the E10 I had to use for the valve cover. This was an regular internal Torx. Well, I said, okay, I'll get back to that.
It went into the zone where socks go in the dryer.
You know, Joe, I don't lose tools. I have tools.
No, you're good
for
like that. I've watched you work.
Years.
Yeah.
I just don't lose them. Brian sells bags of 8s and 10s, he sells them, you know, because it's 8 10 millimeter sockets that guys lose.
Absolutely.
I don't lose them. I searched under that hood. I raised the car back on the lift. You could see less from underneath.
Right.
I looked again on top. Mike came down later on in the evening. I had him looking. And we're using the LED, the searchlights. It looked like a crime scene under that hood. I'm taking
you
a
have, like, the sirens and the dogs and stuff?
I wanted to. What I did is I took the extended magnet, and I just started fishing, hoping maybe I'll catch. No. No. So I lost it in my wife's car. I said, you know, I said, this is like, what else is going to... The plastic things are breaking. The, all this stuff is falling apart. Now I'm losing tools. Like, what's going to happen next?
I was afraid to go to
the bathroom.
Yeah, really, because you know, there are days like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some cars are more prone to that than others.
Oh man!
And you never. So some of it is the materials they use. Some of it's the complexity. You know what I mean? And some of it's just sheer dumb bad luck.
Yeah.
Well, I started to tell you about what happened with the toolbox.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So, what was it? Tuesday night.
We had some nasty, rainy, cold weather.
Yeah, they were predicting. They were predicting it was going to be warm and it was going to rain and the temperature was going to drop like a rock and all this other stuff. So I said, you know what? Let me take a few minutes because I have been remiss this year. And I grabbed a can of WD-40 and I shot the lock cylinders in the cars. You know what I mean? And of course, the last one I left was because I had to go to the UD was the toolbox.
Right.
So I went around and I squirted everything. All right, nice. You know, because I said to myself, this way I don't have to worry about. Next day with where like the water gets into the lock and I can't turn it because I'm a big fan of using that rather than using the remote if possible for a variety of reasons. And my family,
which ended up biting you this time.
Oh, it bit me on the it bit me on the right one, not even the left one. And so I go home, park the car in the driveway, get out, go to lock it with the key. And the key just spins. I mean, I could have put a little propeller on that friggin' thing. You know, I was like, what the son of a monkey's uncle, motherless goat.
Yeah.
So, no big deal. I just, I just locked it with the remote, which is, right? A little too high tech for me, but, you know. Yeah, you gotta buy those lock actuators when you use them that much, because that's why I like to do them manually. So I left it, and
this is so ironic. It's funny.
yesterday I said, in between all the other stuff that Mazda we have to talk to with the setting of the monitors there, when I pulled the door panel off. Now, the first thing I do in weather like this is if I'm going to take something plastic apart is I make sure that it's warm.
Yeah.
I either run the car with the heater on or yesterday because I was inside the UD, I parked it near the heater duct, and I just left the door open for a while and I let it get nice and nice and not cold because you grab some of these plastic panels or you use the little plastic the plastic trim release tools.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you hear is crack.
Oh, yeah.
And that crack is usually like at least $50.
Yeah.
So we managed to get the door panel off. No big deal. And because I didn't have to take it all the way off, I hung it on a bungee cord. Love bungee cords.
Yeah.
Piece of tape, piece of cloth hanging off the door frame. Okay. Leave all the wire connectors, even though wires don't scare me. It's just nice to kind of swing it out of the way.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around in there with a flashlight and the rod popped off the lock cylinder.
Now, how did the rod pop off? Where was the clip?
The clip was in its home in the door lock assembly, the door latch.
Have you posited a thought on how that could have possibly happened?
Evil spirits.
Because, the clips are usually, was it a plastic or metal clip?
Plastic clip.
Okay, they usually just break.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
makes sense.
I saw the thing swinging in the breeze. I'm like, crap, where am I going to find this? And my mind immediately starts going to, we're not going to have these clips here.
No.
All right. Can I get some really skinny wire?
I did that once. I actually braided wire around it.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You could do stuff like that. And I don't know. I said. So I stuck the light in there, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, this don't look bad.
Yeah.
So I just popped it in. And it went.
And it held.
And it held.
You know, and I worked it a bunch of times, and I'm like, I kind of like played with it with my finger a little bit to see if it would pop off.
Go
so
on,
repetitiously.
I dare you. Go on, I dare you.
Yeah, right. Well, I was yelling at it, you know, which much to Johnny's amusement.
It's like the mouse in the refrigerator that just waits for the little light to go out, and then he does his mischief.
Yeah, exactly. You know? come on. You know, it's gremlins, right?
Yeah,
Jim, you're absolutely right. It's a gremlin thing, and sure enough. Just put the damn thing back together. Except, you know, there's like 9 clips holding the stupid door panel on.
Well,
and of course, like 3 of them broke.
Yep, there you go.
You know what I mean? So now, and of course, they're not the generic little tree looking things.
Yeah.
They're their own, you know, Mr. Chrysler funny looking clips. And I was like, okay, do I go out? Do I stay here? Can I do something? So I manage. You plan B. You start relocating them to the different places where they're going to do the most good.
Right.
All right. And you just kind of set it that way. Take a picture of it so that way you can find it when you do go take the door panel apart again for whatever reason later on, which you know is going to happen. And sure enough, like after the right amount of properly lining everything up so I don't break anymore, the proper amount of smacks.
Uh-huh.
I got a door lock again.
Yeah.
You know, I looked out because, you know, some things go relatively easy. I mean, there's faster things to do on a vehicle, but this one actually went pretty straight up, but so that, I can't complain.
But that is irony in motion. That's life that you can't make up because as you were using the lock manually to save the electronics, the electrical
right.
part...
Yeah.
It was the mechanical part that broke.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't even break.
You can't win.
Just like the fact that it didn't break. If you said the clip broke, I'd say, of course, it's exactly what I expect would happen.
Right.
But no, that it didn't break.
It just popped the frig off.
Oh, man.
It's the Al Bundy syndrome.
Yeah, that scares me.
It was a red clip, by the way.
Oh, boy.
So now I've named it the Peg clip.
Yeah, there you go.
Peg, yeah. You're going to stay on there for me, right? But
oh god,
no, that looked out. That was pretty straight. That was pretty straight up because then we had, you know, actually before, but we had the Mazda 3 that would not cooperate. As a matter of fact, Mazda 3s have been banned for a short length of time from the UD.
Uh-oh.
After this particular one. Because certain residents of the UD were like, I can't stand this thing. It's messing with my head.
Oh, boy.
All right. Long story short, I had a lean code.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which turned out to be you know, a little tweak of the vacuum line here, a little bit of injector cleaner there, because the customer also was like, I'm not spending any money on this. I'm like, yeah. But you need a sticker. All right. And then, of course, I hate when the politics of fixing a car get into come into play. It's like, I'm like, listen, mister, you need part X. It's $752. I don't care. 3Bs. I didn't buy it, build it, or break it.
They had to get an inspection, right?
Yeah, and they needed an inspection literally yesterday.
No sticker for you!
No sticker for you! That's right, because, well, this was actually the start. This started Friday afternoon, you know, early evening, and we took the car out, and I straightened it out pretty good, and we took it for a monitor drive.
Right.
And, I sat there and I watched the scan tool, watched the fuel trims, all that stuff, while Johnny drove it. And we got everything set, bought it back. And I was like, oh, cool. The code doesn't look like it's going to set. It didn't come up as pending, anything like that. So we parked the car. I went home. This is about maybe 9 o'clock Friday night. 7 o'clock, I get a text. Piece of crap doesn't pass. The guy at the shop said,
no sticker for you.
What am I going to do now? So, okay. So I get my butt over there. And it turns out that all the monitors wiped out. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
And sure enough, went to crank the car and it went,
oh, boy.
And then it kicked over. He goes, I said, did you notice this the other time? Because when I got in the car, it started like, okay, but... So anyway, long story short, it needed a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if the guy didn't want the other stuff, he wasn't wanting the battery.
No.
So now, plan B. Do we hook up an external jumper box, you know, screw it to the hood, you know, stuff like that. You know, do we run really long cables?
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hold that thought, and you're going to finish that story when we come back from this break, because we have... actually, you know, you let me do this too. Our good friend Steve Mandracina does a show on this station, Everything and Anything, which I happen to like a lot.
Fridays
at 6 p.m. He plays the lost hits and misses from the rock era with the hits from the obscure artists and forgotten songs by rock and roll superstars, as well as music from current hit makers. You want to check that out. It is a very, very good show, and he has a great delivery. And with that, I want to come back. Now, I want you to fire up that bass again, because I know the bass line for this song is one. Yes. The Ampeg is humming. I want you to start us off. We're going to do that, and we will come back with more Motormouth Radio in a minute on 90.3 WHPC. Hit it.
To listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk. Every single weekend.
And I tell you, that smoke is choking me in here, Joe.
Yeah, man. Gotta crank that stuff up.
Ugh.
You can't not listen to James.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Great stuff. 50 years old, but it's still great stuff.
You know, just the symmetry of the band, it was just... Ugh.
Dale's a good bass player.
Great guys, yes.
That whole crew was... Yeah. All right, don't get me started.
Okay, so we was talking about the Mazda you worked on.
Yes. So we did it... So that kind of got straightened out. And when I heard the thing crank, it kind of... I had a flashback. We had that Tahoe a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Where we had the battery cable issue.
Oh, right.
Where battery. It would lose the monitors.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, and the truck, and I fixed the codes in the truck, you know, at that time. And I was like, well, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, the guy's still not going to get it to pass because, you know, it keeps losing the monitors every time he cranks it. So this was in a similar situation, but actually simply for a crappy battery. Because,
right.
You know, we checked the connections, all that stuff. And what I did was at one point, I just had somebody crank it while I watched the voltmeter, and the thing went down to like 7 volts or some obnoxious number like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, God, here we go. So we got the car started, and I said, good, let's leave it running. Do not crank it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is we took it for a ride, and I decided I was going to drive the monitors to get them settled, to get them to settle a little faster. So I gave my compadre Johnny
the choice.
He got to drive the scan tool, and I explained to him what all the monitor status statuses were, and I was like, okay, make sure you count the inkles,
mm-hmm,
and the nas,
yep,
and the okays. And I said, we got to make sure that we get everything. We could have everything. We want all okays or only. We're only allowed one inkle.
Okay.
So
right.
We drove around until we got down to one inkle. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now it's time to, you know, this was like basically one trip up and down the Clearview, which is usually my habit.
You know, let me interrupt, because I know our web guy, social media guy, is going to ask me, what the hell's an inkle and a nah? So
an inkle and a nah?
Yeah, might as well just tell him.
Well, the inkle is incomplete.
Right.
Or incompoop, depending on which way you want to interpret it. But it's that the monitor is incomplete on the scan tool.
Right.
All right. And then nah is N/A for not applicable.
Right.
Or applicable, or depending applicable on your pronunciation. We had that discussion as well.
Oh, yeah.
But now we're getting to the shop, right? So I get off the Clearview, we're going over to the shop, and then I remembered something. You cannot disconnect a scan tool from a Mazda while the scan tool is on and the engine is running.
I didn't know that.
Because, well, every time I've had it, it's been like a Mazda 3.
And I own two Mazdas, but I guess I've never done that.
Well, yeah.
What happens if you do?
You got to check engine light. And it's for a code of the modules not talking to each other, because you would put them into like a nice little loop between the, in this particular case, the engine and the instrument cluster.
Yeah.
But if you break the loop without saying a proper goodbye, now you got to check engine light.
How polite of them.
Well, you know, the Japanese are very polite people. I guess. You know? I was thinking, what do I do? Do I bow?
Well, I got to bow before I open the door. My
Do I pull the katana out a little bit? You know, whatever.
Tighten the sash on your
Obi. So then what I just did is, a block away from the shop, I just decided to, like, just exit out of the scan tool, but, you know, a couple different ways, just to make sure I said my proper goodbyes.
Yes.
And then I shut the power off, and sure enough, the thing went, the light didn't come on when I popped the connector, because the connector's got to be popped when you go to the station, because you got to plug the inspection machine in.
Of course.
So
yeah.
At that point, we rolled it in, and we were greeted by my boys at the shop there. That's my favorite, my main
Joe.
Place.
Come
yes.
on in. It's like, here's your slippers.
It's like, hey, what you doing with this piece of... where's the dump button?
Yeah.
And it's like, look, before it changes its mind, we got to plug this thing in.
Yeah.
And...
inspect it.
We plugged it in, and sticker for you.
Oh, nice.
Sticker for you.
Beauteous.
And then we drove it home, and then we kind of threw some holy water at it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know...
Was that by Anheuser-Busch? No,
Coors.
Coors, right.
Coors, you know, we managed not to crack the windshield, so...
Nice. Good.
We said, nah, hey, because then the nahs were okay.
Yeah.
And then we just parked it and, like, let the customer get it and said, yeah, with a nice little note, you need a battery.
Right.
Yeah, because this is going to happen all the time.
You know, just as a case in point, the Interstate store in Freeport, the Interstate battery store, you can walk in off the street. It doesn't look like it's a walk-in off the street kind of place, but it is.
Yeah, it's rather industrial looking.
It is very industrial. And they sell not only new, but they sell refurbished Interstate batteries.
Yeah, them green tag ones.
Actually, the ones I was getting were black. Well, I don't know about a tag, but the case is black.
Yeah, they're black with like green tags, yeah.
And they were substantially cheaper than the
new battery. last time I was there, I picked up a bunch of different sizes for the UD.
I've used a couple of them.
They're still working. It beats the hell out of rubbing two sticks together. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
And you know, are they going to last 10 years? Probably not. But for what you pay for them, you know,
unless you can get that cool little glass thing where you can put the crystals in, you know, get the dilithium, you can
we refurbish them that way. We haven't really come up with a way of.
I mean, just to run the car off. If I'm thinking, you know.
Yeah, you know, just, well, yeah, maybe we could put some of them in the booster packs, you know what
there
I mean, rather
go.
Than, but, yeah, batteries are, this week has been hell on batteries. And
I can imagine.
I ran into a couple of these at the shop where, like, the battery went dead or whatever. I got a few phone calls. You know, the guy had, you know, the battery went low, and now the monitors aren't set anymore, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I just changed the two batteries, actually three batteries in the cars that we use, and all within the last couple months.
Right.
What a run that was, right?
Yeah, sure. That's a nice little unexpected
But in retrospect, I'm kind of happy because now they're all up to snuff. The cars are starting right away. And
sure, yeah. At least, you know, for the next couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do, at least, especially once the car, you know, the battery gets to be a couple years old. As part of, you know, cars only come in for maintenance now sometimes twice, maybe once a year even.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? get the battery checked, put the tester on it, and not necessarily the toaster. I mean, the toaster works. We have a toaster
Mike
with the UV.
Mike bought that nice new tester that gives you the printout and all of that?
Right, yeah, because that actually calculates the internal resistance in the battery, which is more accurate, especially with the type of batteries that they use these days.
Yes.
Yeah, the toaster is pretty good, too, especially if you want to light your cigar.
Well, yeah, if it's
cold. You know what I mean? But it's not quite... Because it's not so fine-lined, it's like, yeah, it's crap. Yeah, it's good.
Right.
And the maybe the yellow part is very, very ambiguous.
We don't know,
Yeah, but you should. Batteries don't last the way they do.
I've found that to be true, yes.
You know what I mean? And what and because they're critical, you know what I mean? Because if voltage is not correct, once you go, depending on the car, once you go below a certain voltage, in many cases it's somewhere around 9, you start losing memory.
Right.
All right.
That happens to me now.
Yeah. and I'm definitely above 9 volts. You know what I mean? You don't want to know where that battery sits. But what ends up happening is you lose memory, not just the monitors, but like shift points, fuel trims. I bet you the cruise was a little funky for a little bit.
I want to tell you, I'm glad you said that, because when Mike and I went out to do our test drive last night, I said to him, I asked him about trims. I asked him about scan data, and he gave it to me. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said the transmission was affected. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I didn't drive this car a lot during the week. I said, but I can tell now it's shifting correctly the way it did before. And I know that when I was driving, or I drove it during the week, it didn't have the same... I'm going to say shift pattern. Obviously, it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
But the way it shifted and the time it shifted was a little bit different. And now driving it with the corrected original pattern, I could tell, and I knew. And I was curious about that. I want to bring that up to you because...
For sure, yeah. Because, a lot of times, too, I don't like disconnecting batteries, if at all possible. I mean, the memory saver is nice. You know what I mean? That definitely has its place in things. But anytime you disconnect the battery, Hondas, you disconnect the battery, you lose the radio code, which is always fun because nobody ever has that laying around.
That's why I use I always call it the redhead, but it's not a redhead. It's a red.
Yeah, but the problem with some of them too is on certain cars, certain Hondas and certain German cars, you blow fuses. So you got to be careful with that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
that happened on my Mazda about 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. I had
that
problem with
I always said the Mazda guys hung out with the Germans way too much, you know?
I think they did.
Yeah, so it does definitely have its place in things, but try to keep the battery disconnects or the low battery events to a minimum, because it'll save you a lot of crap in the end.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to save a little crap right now. We're going to take our last break. I think the B-52s are over us. The bombs are getting ready to drop. So we'll let Joe Walsh and Jim Fox and the boys take care of that, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, show. Not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
No sticker for you!
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
We're back, Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We like this transition so much, we're just going to talk through it because we like the way it comes back. Joe and I both like that, the way the hard rock...
That CD. It's stuck in the machine. It's not going no place. Yeah. I love it. Let's face it.
It just comes back. You know, we may be behind the curve here. We may be another, like, 2 minutes into this. I don't remember now exactly where it comes back in, but...
Yeah.
We'll have a little background music, that's all. You know, we like it.
Why not?
And where do we leave off? I don't remember.
Don't be screwing with your battery.
Yeah, the battery.
Make sure your battery is good for it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, make sure your colon is clear and all that stuff.
Right.
You want to make sure that your battery is up to snuff because on a modern car, and by modern, pretty much anything after about 98, the last 20 years. And the newer you get, the more, you know, because
yes.
radios, you know, like we were just talking about Honda radio codes, learned behaviors of the ECM or the transmission control module,
mm-hmm.
you know, all kinds of stuff. And then, I mean, certain cars, when you replace a battery, like the Charmin cars, you got to do a whole boatload of relearns with a scan tool before you can give the thing back to the customer. So you want to keep that memory, that brain fade, to an absolute minimum,
right?
You know, otherwise you're gonna have it. So let's see, we've had some busted door locks. We had the funky battery,
right? We had the cruise valve cover,
right?
Replacement and repair.
What else did we break this week?
I'll tell you though, those Matco e-Torx sockets were really, really nice. Like, the first time I got to use them.
They come in handy, right?
Very
nice. Don't you just
love
it when a tool just does the right thing for you?
You know, tools, if you buy good tools like we do, whether it's scan tools or electrical tools or hand tools, whatever it is, it is very, very evident when you get something that's... Yeah, the good stuff's expensive. There's no two ways about it. You
get what you pay for.
But you do get what you pay for, and it's so nice to use something that is nice because, you know, that's the smile factor. Like, and I've been lucky with it. Some of the new stuff I've bought recently, I was able to use it fairly right away. So I got to put it right into service, which is another great thing. You know?
Yeah. That's also good too when you have the right people selling you tools that they get it to you when you need it.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, when you look over, if you look over a job and you say, you know what? I need the blah 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 wrench.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or the special alignment tool, or whatever the case may be. You want to have that in place before you start messing around because a lot of guys still feel that. I don't need that. I could kind of dope it out.
Yeah,
and you know what? Sometimes you can. But the luck factor becomes so much higher. You know what I mean? Because there's a reason why they got all this stuff here.
Right.
And you also got to say to yourself, well, it's an offshoot of Joey's theory number one, which is anything going to explode if you do this? No? Try it! Well, sometimes things may explode, but you don't even realize they're gonna. So you always want to look at stuff real careful before you start taking stuff apart. Check the service information.
Exactly.
Talk to somebody who's done the job before.
Well, that's why. I always ask you, Joe. You got the service procedure.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you can also look at the forums, but you got to watch the forums.
Those
basement keyboard warriors sometimes can be rather scary. So you want to try to stick with reputable sites. You know what I mean?
Right.
YouTube, for a long time I used to make fun of the certified YouTube mechanics, but there's a lot of good YouTubers out there.
There are.
They're reputable guys.
they have shops, they have diagnostic businesses or repair businesses, and they show you how what they go through.
And speaking of that, Motormouth Radio has a YouTube channel. And people can go up there and search for it. You can see the stuff we have on there now. Some of it's the older stuff, but we're trying to curate some new topics. One of the ones that's being worked on now, our poor web guy is like, he's deluged with all this stuff, but he's honing his skills. He's working on his chops. Is that the video that I made for the...
when we're not breaking them.
Yeah, right. For the snowplow diagnostics for the truck we have at the shop.
Right.
I did a series of videos that we had to put together, and I watch it, and I'm bored to tears. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to see this again.
Oh, yeah. Some of this stuff, sometimes the most informative ones do require some type of stimulant to watch them.
Because you know me, Joe. The whole intent was to be focused on a specific point,
right.
Not the whole general business of how to rebut, you know, it was a specific topic, and I like to be very technical, and so that if a guy like us is watching it who has some technical proficiency,
mm-hmm.
he's not saying like, all right, yeah, go on,
right,
like, get to the point,
you know? Right, the red goes on the positive, the black goes on the negative. Yeah. Did you wear? I didn't see it yet. Did you wear a lab coat?
No, I did, but I was in one of the because I did it in different times.
Right.
And one of them, you'll see, I was actually wearing my my nighttime lounging pants that were kind of
okay.
You know, very
casual.
Well,
that gives us the casual vibe there,
right?
Know, because you get a lot of those training videos. The guys got the lab coat.
I could wear a lab coat. I have one.
Yeah, with the pocket protector.
Got that home to
and the glasses, the thick black glasses. And that the pump system on the western snowplow unit is functional with hydraulic pressure. I can see that right now.
You know, you could really get into it. I know you could. There's a whole plethora of stuff you could do.
Yeah, I could see it. And you could have like some kid with a crew cut there help you out, and you smack him over the head because he did something wrong.
True.
Yeah, but you're a very good explainer, Ray.
Well, we'll try.
You do an excellent job of like, oh my god. Folks, it's a shame this is not a visual medium. My God, is that like the Mr. Magoo specials or what? Holy crap. Let me see these things. Wait. Whoop.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Wow. These things, I got to get a picture of this. I can see Jupiter. No, I'm sorry. I was going to say something. No. We got your picture with you on these things. Yeah, there we go. Wait a minute. We're doing a little visual self-promotion here, guys. There we go. Got it. But that's...
All right.
But yeah, let's face it. You tend to listen to people with a lab coat and glasses more. That's like when you walk around...
Yeah, they substantiate
in a place with a clipboard, people tend to believe you more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have no idea what's going on, but if you have like a clipboard or these days like a tablet, you have the, you get a lot more believability there. But
I got to tell you a funny story quick. Years ago, back in the 80s, I was doing the BAB, a radio station we have out here on the island, did a road rally, and I did a few of them, and I brought Gerard with me from Rolling Thunder Cycles one year.
Right.
We did it in my first Fiat, and mm-hmm. it was pouring rain. It was terrible. So they had us all meet for a driver's meeting at one side of the road, and we had to go across the street where all the cars were, and there's usually someone there to stage and have the people leave in groups of like five or eight or whatever in some kind of a controlled manner. Well, that guy realized it's pouring too hard. I'm staying inside. Screw this. So it was like airplane. Whatever it was like. The movies were flying. That's what it was like.
Wow.
So there we are back in the pack. And I was like, oh, man, we're never going to get out of here because there's Broncos, lifted trucks, everything. We're in a little Fiat. Gerard says, hold on a minute. I'll take care of this. And he had a poncho. I don't know if it was a Sears poncho, but it was his poncho anyway.
Right.
He gets out, goes to the front by the driveway, and he starts directing traffic. Like, you over here, you over here, you two over here, you two. And as I'm getting closer, he's watching, and he stops this other guy, and he signals me ahead. He gets in the door, jumps in, and we take off. He goes, hit it! Let's go! So
that's
like,
right out of a movie. I love it. That's great.
And I was like, what? He goes, hey.
And he was wearing the poncho.
He taught me a lesson. He says, when
poncho of authority.
Right. But whatever it is, when there is no one in authority, anybody who's taking charge,
mm-hmm.
either take charge or look like you're taking charge, and people are going to do whatever you say.
Yeah.
And they did. They just followed him directly. He diverted everybody until I got up there a lot quicker than I could have.
If you don't look like Dean Martin, he's like...
So I've used that lesson through life a lot of times, and it really does work.
Sometimes you just have to take the bull by the horns.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the way stuff gets done, unfortunately, because if you sit... Yeah. I'm a big fan of, like, taking a step back and looking at stuff, but every once in a while it's just like, right. Come on and do it! Well, yesterday, yeah. For example, we... that was another thing we did. It was time to... get back a little bit on the Corvette. So while we decided that it's time to freshen up the carburetor. Oh, by the way, Ray.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you know a guy.
So we went to we were going to pull the carburetor off the Corvette, which uh-huh. You know, just to refresh everybody's memory, it was like a pretty much fairly unmolested until now.
74
L82 Corvette with right. Like not that many miles on it. So. But it's been sitting, so like the fuel system needs freshening up. So we decided to yank the carburetor and have Mr. Guarino lay hands on it.
Yeah.
You know, got the kit and everything. So I'm taking it apart. I'm taking pictures, you know, of where all the vacuum lines go, all the linkages go, stuff right. Like that. Then I had to walk away for a couple minutes.
Oh.
Then I heard, next thing I know,
it was on the floor.
Carburetor's sitting there. Where's the box? You got a box? All right. And sure enough, carburetor is off.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know if all my little careful markings and pictures...
Clips, hoses, and lines.
Yeah, I...
use masking tape on the hoses?
Sometimes, yeah.
Are you a fan of that?
Well, I actually have a little box of, like, multicolored, like, vacuum caps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the male and the female, so I, you know,
sure.
Like yellow to yellow, blue to blue, blah, blah, blah.
Great idea.
You know, but that's right. I went to go get those.
Ah, there you go.
I walked over to the toolbox.
And you opened the door and influenza.
But you know what? On the other hand, no one, considering the simplicity of the car and
yeah,
some people's memories,
you've been around them forever.
It'll go back on together. It's no, but yeah. I just thought it was pretty cool how all of a sudden that was plan C for carburetor.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean? It was just like you go one way. Like I never realized that they tack welded the bracket for the throttle linkage
uh-huh.
to the. Not tack welded, but it's crimped on the bracket. It's crimped onto the vacuum hose, the metal vacuum hose.
Really,
the vacuum line that goes to the brake booster.
Wow!
So when you go to take that off, and if you haven't undone the vacuum line for the brake loop booster, you ain't going no place.
Right, right.
So you had
captured.
So that was a little bit of an education. Wow. I haven't touched one of them suckers in a while.
That's well, yeah, one that was unmolested since 74.
Which was nice, you know, but I think I got one or two pictures, so.
Wow.
We'll see. Hopefully my short-term memory holds out, not, you know, for a reasonable length of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Now I got to find out. I went in the shed a little while ago, last month, and I had the distinct smell of
victory.
No, gunk hydroseal, which is the carburetor cleaner I have in my carburetor agitator.
Right.
And I was like, I know I have it in there. I have the agitator in the shed, but I usually don't smell it. And I also noticed that whatever that stuff on the floor was gunk hydroseal. So somehow I have a leak. And I've been meaning to get out there and try and diagnose it. I'm like, eh, well, I got no jobs to do. And then it got really cold. I'm like, oh, now it's like, forget about it.
Yeah, no, we're not going there.
But now since it's supposed to be warm, either this afternoon or tomorrow, I'll get out there and I'll dig that out and figure it out and solve it. And
yeah, well, I mean, you'll solve it with the solvent.
I'll solve it, yeah.
You'll solve it with the solvent. I love it. Yeah, but let's face it. You know, this weather's hard on stuff. It's hard on machines. It's hard on people.
Yeah.
I mean... No, it's another thing I got to do is I got to get either take the some of the cars to a car wash or get up to the UD where it's nice and warm and spray the undercarriage there, you know, because face it, you know,
get that salt off.
You know, brake lines just don't last like they used to.
Oh, I know.
I mean, this year alone, like, let's see, we've had a number of brake lines. You go into shops, the guys are doing brake lines all the time.
You know what else doesn't last? This
what?
Show.
Yeah, we're just
done.
About out of there.
Come back next week. We're going to have Tony D'Agostino from Tony's Parts on Watermouth Radio.
Until get your
then,
Mopar parts here.
Stay tuned for Kim, Thunder Road. We're out of here.
Bye.
See ya.